Father, because of who you are, God, you're our creator and maker, God. Father, you're the giver of life. God, you are where our help comes from. And Father, we just thank you, God, for who you are in our lives today. God, that we can interact with you on a daily basis. God, that we can experience your presence in our lives no matter where we're at. God, that you meet us where we are. And God, as we dive into the message today, Lord God, Father, I ask that you would use my thoughts and my tongue, Lord God, to allow your words to flow through to your people, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you would open the ears and the hearts of the hearers, Lord God. Father, that they would hear the truth of your word. God, that they would cultivate it within their hearts. God, that they would apply it to their lives. God, that it would build them up in their faith. God, that it would strengthen and encourage them. God, to go forth into the world making disciples, Father of all men. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Got to make some room here so I don't trip over stuff. All right. Experiencing God number two, inside out. We're supposed to be experiencing God from the inside out. So if for starters, if you can imagine yourself as a popcorn kernel, very hard and crusty, crunchy on the outside. How many of you just go to the popcorn kernels, dip your hand in there, grab a handful, and eat them? Anyone? Okay, we have one, two. How many of you have teeth left? It can be done, and you can eat it and digest it. But I have never enjoyed an uncooked popcorn kernel in my bag of popcorn. It's like finding that steel BB in your duck breast that you just cooked for breakfast. You're enjoying it, it's wonderful, and all of a sudden, oh, call your dentist. It's not that fun. So we start as that popcorn unpopped, hard on the outside, crusty, impenetrable, and not really that great and exciting. Of course, the end of the road, we get down to this big, fluffy, white popcorn kernel that has bloomed and is fluffy and soft and very chewable, very pliable, and really has no nutritional value, but we love to eat this stuff. But if you add some salt and pepper and butter, you can get some calories that way. All right, so if we're experiencing God, who are we having the experience with? If you look around the world of religion today, many different doctrines will tell you many different things. Many religious beliefs will tell you who God is. But who is God really? So we want to get to the nature of God, to know who we're having this experience with, so that we can say, yeah, I want to be involved in this experience. I want to be part of this. So if we look at God as faithful, God's word tells us he is faithful. We're going to jump into 1 Corinthians verse 1 through 9. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we begin to understand something about God. He's faithful. What does faithful mean? It means he's always there for you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us. Got a dogfight going on out back. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant to love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Know that your God is God, the Lord God Almighty, the I Am, the capital G, God. And he's faithful, not just to you. He wasn't faithful just to David. He wasn't faithful just to whoever, back to Adam, but he's faithful to 1,000 generations, meaning he's still faithful today in our generation, and if we're long gone before the rapture comes, he's going to continue to be faithful in the future to the generations beyond us. Our God is the Almighty God, who is faithful forever and ever, unchanging, unwavering. Our God is just. Do you know that your God is just? We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Thessalonians 1:6 says it very plainly. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Vengeance is not ours. Sometimes we look around and think, I need to get them back for what they've done for me. The Word of God tells us God's got our back. God is faithful and He's just. There's nothing you and I can or should do to repay evil. We should allow God to take that place in our lives. God says in His Word He's got our back. Is this beginning to sound like someone you want to have an experience with? They're faithful. They're never going to leave you. They're just. They're going to right the wrongs against you. They've got your back covered. Who is this guy? I want to experience with him. The next character trait, God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us, if we don't have love in us, we can't be of God, for God is love. God is all-encompassing love. And if we don't love one another, we can't have a part in God and His love. So we first must love one another as God loves us, because God Himself is love. God is constant. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchanging, unwavering in our lives. So if this is who God is, does He sound, and this is just like a glimpse of what the Word of God in whole says about God and who He is to us. This is a sneak peek. If you're not sure about God and who He is, I suggest you go home and do a study on it. And you'll find that you want to have a relationship with Him. You want to experience what He has in store for you. So if this is God, what are His intentions toward us? We go clear back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and He made them in His image and likeness, meaning us, human beings. He made them male and female. And He goes on to say, He also gives us dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the creatures of the land, and the whole earth is ours to take charge of and govern. So God's not only made us and put us on this place, but He's put us in charge over everything. And He's also made us in His image and His likeness. Does this sound like somebody that wants to help you or hurt you? This sounds like somebody who's set up a great experience for us. Matthew 10:30 tells us that He counts the very hairs on our head. And just before that, it says that two sparrows are sold for a penny. How much more does God care for you, and how much more worth are you than two sparrows? If God's keeping track of every little sparrow that's sold for a half a cent, and He's keeping track of every hair on our heads, some of you, it's getting easier for Him. For me as well. But how much care He has for you and I to keep track of the very hairs on our head. Not just our emotions and what we're going through. Not just our mental state and what we're going through. Not just our spiritual state and what we're experiencing. But I'm even keeping track of the hair on your head. I have so much care for you. So I'm just starting to begin to understand that maybe God has good intentions for you and I. God has a good experience in store for you and I. Matthew 28:18 through 20. We go to the Great Commission. I love the Great Commission. It's like, if you can't figure anything out, just figure this passage out and see what God wants you to do. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus says here that all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given him, and now he's sending us out in his name, in that power, in that authority. I say his intentions are good for us. If I show up at someone's house and beat on the door with a gun and say, "Let me in," are they going to let me in? But if I beat on the door and say, "Cami Eyes Marshal Office," are they going to let me in? Possibly. They might shoot at me still. But I don't come in my own authority anymore. I'm backed by the Cami Eyes Marshal's Office, who's backed by the city, who's backed by the state, who eventually is backed by the federal government. And I have all that behind me and with me. So when we enter into a situation in our lives, we're not backed by ourselves. Christ says, "I am with you until the end of the age, with all power and authority under heaven and on earth. It's given to me, and I'm giving it to you to go out with." Don't go in your own strength. Don't experience life at your own speed. Experience life at my pace, with all my power and all my authority. Go out and do that. So what does God have to offer us? Earlier this fall, I took myself and a couple other guys. We took a couple of guests into the backcountry. And for us, it's our most remote camp. You drive about 3.5 hours from town here by vehicle. Then you climb onto a horse's back and ride about 7.5 hours into the camp. So it's out there. And we get about an hour in the trail, which is about 3 miles. And they start looking around, and you're at 7,000 feet just looking into Montana and over to Oregon, and all you can see is rippling mountains everywhere. And they go, "Where's the nearest road out here?" I said, "Well, there isn't one in everything you can see. The one we just left is the closest road." They go, "No, really, come on." I said, "No, that's it." They go, "Well, where's the nearest town from here?" I said, "The one we left, 6 hours ago, that's it." They just go, you could see them in their own eyes just go, "Whoa." And they became very small, they became very fearful, very scared, and they were looking around like, "There's no way out of here." And they couldn't release themselves to put their trust in us as their guides to enjoy the experience to the fullest. There were places we wanted to take them because that's where the elk were, that they would look and go, "I don't know how to get back from there." They couldn't inside themselves leave their own comfort zone and their own ability to put their trust into us to move forward and try to get an elk. So we basically went on a really expensive horse ride all week. Sometimes in our lives, God has a trip of a lifetime set up before us, and he's drawing us into it. And we begin to engage and begin to engage, and pretty soon we look around. We go, "Whoa, this is really unfamiliar. This is really uncomfortable. I really don't understand where I'm at right now. So I'm going to step back to where I know what I'm doing. And you just go on ahead, God." I mean, they offered us, "You take my rifle and go kill one for me." Which is amazing how many times you hear that as a guide. I wish it was legal. Oh my goodness, it'd be fun. But think into your life. What's God calling you to do? What's God asking you to do? Maybe you've been in a situation in your life and you've got close to doing what God wants you to do, And pretty soon you look out of the spiritual and begin to look at the physical around you and say, God, it's not possible. God, there's no way. There's just, the walls are closing in. This is dangerous. This is making me uncomfortable. Well, God begins that work on the inside of us. And that work should be germinating. It should be cultivated. It should be watered. It should be growing. And sooner or later, that work which he begins on the inside has got to come to the outside if we'll allow him to keep working on us. We're going to look at Job 36:26. How great is God beyond our understanding? The number of his years is past finding out. God is bigger than we can imagine, bigger than we can understand. With these two fellows, when they're booking the hunt, we sell it as a goat hunt on timbered hillsides because it's ugly, nasty, rugged country. And we try to tell them it's the toughest hunt you'll ever go on in your life. To try to get them to almost comprehend what they're up against. And we've never yet had a person go into the hunt and go, this is exactly what I expected. They always say, this is 10 times harder than I ever could have imagined, even with what you told me. I didn't know terrain could be so rugged. And we say, well, we're taking you to the easy spots. God is so much bigger than you and I can imagine or comprehend. And he tells us in his word time and time and time again to try to let us know there's a lot more out there available to us. But we have to do something to get to that point in our lives. We have to couple something alongside of us. Or we're going to talk about that just in a moment, and it's called faith. First, we're going to jump into Philippians 4:7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know that God has a peace available to you to experience? No matter what you're going through in life, it is greater than the obstacle before you. And you don't have to understand it, you just have to enjoy it. God has peace for you to enjoy in the midst of trial, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of waves crashing down around you. God has peace for you and I to experience and enjoy during that time. We're going to jump back to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Did you hear that last piece? His power that is at work within us. We have to start looking beyond ourselves into that power that is within us, because inside of this hard, crusty popcorn kernel is the power of Lord God Almighty working within us. It's there. It's working. And in that real popcorn kernel, it's called moisture. It's the wetness. It's the water of the Spirit churning within us, as Lois spoke of this morning. It's that water inside the kernel that's just waiting to have a little heat applied so it can begin to pop into place. Now let's look at this faith thing. Sometimes God draws us into the deep and we retreat because it's unfamiliar and uncomfortable. Is God drawing you into the deep? Is he calling you to experience him more, to know him more? How do we experience more of God? We just looked at the verses that tell us that he's way more than we can imagine or comprehend. So how do we get to a place that we can't even think of? We have to apply our faith to it. Because our faith is that which we can't see. It's things we hope for but have no knowledge of. To build our faith, we're going to look at a couple verses, one in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. What's the message? It's right here in my hand. It's the Word of God, the living, breathing Word of God spoken to you. Today you are hearing the message. If it falls on deaf ears, it has no place to grow. But if your ears are open and receptive to the Word of God, it begins to build your faith. It begins to grow you. And you learn to begin to know the character of God and who He is and who He wants to be for you. It allows your faith to grow and develop. Do you guys like growing and developing physically? Especially after Christmas? I'm talking from infancy. I mean, do you wish you were still in diapers and had to be waited upon and changed and bathed and fed? Couldn't do anything for yourselves? Or do you like the maturing process where, wow, I can... Look, I can run on my own now. I love it. Our little girl, Brielle, is just like so excited about potty train time, and she's potty trained now. And she loves to tell you, and I love to hear her say, Dad, I gotta go poop. Because that means I don't have to change a diaper. It means we're going to the toilet. I am glad she is growing and developing. God wants us to grow and develop in our faith. He doesn't want our faith to be a poopy diaper forever. He wants our faith to grow and develop, so when we need to excuse ourselves from a room to do our duty, we can do that. God wants your faith to grow, and unless you're hearing the Word of God and applying it to your life, your faith is dead. Does that mean your faith has no works behind it? Or action. Faith put into action is alive and breathing and vibrant. And it's inside of you and it begins to come out of you. And you go pop. And instead of this hard, crusty, yellow kernel, you're this bright, beautiful, bubbly, full, voluptuous kernel of popcorn that has popped. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. You can't see faith. You can see it in action, but it's what you hope for and cannot see. Do you hope for a greater relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because His Word tells us, as we've read today, that He will never leave us or forsake us. That He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we apply our faith to that and say, God, I can't see the future ahead of me, but from reading Your Word, from hearing the Scripture, God, You have good intentions for me. And God, from reading Your Word, it says You will never leave me, but You're always with me, and You're covered in love. So I'm going to continue on in what You're asking me to do, even though I can't see it, because I want to experience more of You. So God, give me the faith to step into the pool that doesn't have water yet. God, give me faith to step out of the airplane when my chute's not fastened yet. God, give me that kind of faith to trust wholly in You and Your goodness and Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. We must build our faith to have a deeper experience. The disciples walked with Jesus day by day by day for a couple of years, and then a storm comes when they're on the sea, and they start freaking out. Jesus is laying there in the boat with them. He's so assured about the storm, he's taking a nap. And his disciples quit looking at Jesus and start looking at the wind and the waves and the boats taking on water, and we're all going to die and we're all going to drown. But when our focus goes off Jesus, back to the storm, we lose faith. If you look at what's going around in you in the world today, it's scary. It's scary. And if we just focus on that, we're always going to be that crusty, hard popcorn kernel. And what's living inside of us, we're never going to allow the heat to come and make that moisture burst and pop. Stay focused on Jesus. We're going to look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Another way we can experience more of who God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as he says in his word. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia." Whatever that word is, it's a town, I'm sure of it. And Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The baptism of the Holy Spirit. God told his disciples to go and pray. Don't leave until you've received power from on high. When you mix the holy fire with that little water of salvation that's been burning inside of you since you accepted Jesus Christ, it can do nothing but pop. It can do nothing but expand and grow inside of you until we pop. And then people no longer are dealing with our hard, crusty kernel of popcorn shell that we put on for them, but they're now dealing with the Spirit of the living God coming from the inside of us to the out. And still people will say we're crazy. Still people will say they're drunk. Still people will condemn you and come against you. Do you know that there are lots of other doctrines that say if you speak in tongues, you're demon-possessed? God's word says, don't go out and preach the good news until you receive this power. And I'm not here to bash doctrine against doctrine, but his word tells us, don't go out until you have it. Don't go out until you've experienced more of me, so much of me that you can't contain it any longer, that it begins to pop out of you. And it's me from your inside to the out. It's no longer Arby going to minister to the community of Kamei or in the Clearwater Valley, but it's the Spirit of God rising up inside of me, ministering through me as an open vessel, bringing the kingdom of God to the Clearwater Valley. Part of building our faith is having, for me, I call them landmarks. I look back in my life, because there's days I doubt God and say, is this really real? Am I wasting my time? I mean, should I be out pursuing the greatest whitetail ever killed in Idaho and enjoying that instead? But I look backwards of where I've come from, and I have set up landmarks in my life where, God, you were real and evident, and I cannot deny you. And one of those for me is speaking in tongues. As a young man going to youth camp, I don't know, I was 12 or 10 or 13, I have no idea, somewhere down there. Baptized in the Spirit, began speaking in tongues, and did all the way up through my teenage years until I walked away from God and I just wadded it up and put it on a shelf because I didn't want to use it because I wasn't serving God. But the very moment I said, God, yes, I'm ready to serve you again, I'm ready to do your will, I was praying one day and I began praying in tongues again, and it freaked me out for a minute. Because I'm like, where did that come from? I haven't used that in years. And how could I just gather it if it was just made up by me and put it back into use? But I said, no, I'm tired of this lifestyle. I'm going to allow you, God, to flow through me. And it was His holy fire mixing with that water that began flowing out of me once again. And all I had to do was say, this is where I'm at, God. I'm a mess. Will you come take over once again? I'm inviting you into my life. And it's that simple to have a greater experience of God in your life every day. Say, God, I'm inviting you on the inside that you may come through me to the outside. So we're wearing God inside out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If the ushers would come ready to receive the offering. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word in our lives today. God, we thank you for the truth. God, we thank you for the direction from it. And God, we ask that you would use us, God, to bring your kingdom, God, to the Clearwater Valley. God, that we would be your hands extended. God, bring in your health, bring in your strength. God, bring in your unity in the body of Christ. And Father, we ask that you would use this, Father, God, to strengthen us, God, to encourage us to experience you deeper. God, that we would reach deep into your word, God, that we would draw out of it, God, your living water. And God, that we would reach deep into your spirit, God, that we would mix it with the water. And God, that it would create a holy fire within us, God, that could do nothing but pop. God, so that we are your vessels, God, going forth in your mighty strength. God, bringing your gospel of peace and of love, God, to the people around us. Father, we thank you for this, and we ask your blessing upon our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The fellows are going to gather the offering in a moment. If you guys want to gather your Connect card,